1450 AM, W299 CD, Richland Center.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Joining us on the morning show today is Lauren Glassbrenner, River Valley District Administrator. How you doing there today, Lauren?
I'm doing well. It's been beautiful weather. It's just really been nice for us superintendents not to have to think about snow days for the last few weeks. It's been really nice. So
Now don't jinx yourself.
I know.
I've heard Thursday could be a little bit tricky in the morning, but we'll see.
Yeah. It's going to come in late Wednesday night, possibly even early Thursday morning, and hopefully it sticks to the snow. Snow is easy to deal with in the bigger scheme of things. Ice, not so much on all our back roads. So hopefully it'll work itself out.
We'll let you pull out that microphone. I think we had a shorter guest in here the last time we had a guest in the studio.
So that seemed better?
That's better. Yeah, okay. Right on the money. Yeah, I was just wondering, you know, this kind of weather is kind of a false sense that spring might be here. I don't know if the kids are getting squirrely in the schools or not.
Well, yeah, the kids are really squirrely in the schools. So I think, you know, there's a long period that happens between a holiday break at Christmas time and a spring break, which is right around Easter. So those months of January, February, and March really hit home in a school district. I don't think you could talk to a teacher in any part of the United States and think about these 3 months as not a really long period of time where the kids are wishing to be outside if the weather gets nice or wishing for another snow day, and it just doesn't happen. So it's a good long period, but it's a longer period in the school year, and teachers are really cracking their way through it. That's for sure.
I've been in your gymnasium recently a couple of times, and you have the new smart board there, and yeah. Boy, that's really nice.
Yeah, we're really thankful. We had this idea of putting up a new Megatron or a Mega board, which is really just a humongous computer screen up on the side of our gymnasium. And really what it allows us to do is feature some great things about sports teams that are playing in our new gym. So that came to be with the help of our Spring Green Area Chamber of Commerce. The Spring Green Area Chamber of Commerce, which is run by Julie Jensen, did a great job of helping us fundraise and get some really recognition there. So we put the board up, and now we've got our big sponsors up there. We're hoping to have an unveiling of that board, kind of a grand opening, if you will. I believe it's coming up on February 22nd, which will be senior night for our boys basketball team. I don't know if you're going to be at that game or not, but it's coming up.
Yeah.
And so that will be a home game. That'll be senior night for our guys, and that will allow us to feature some special things. So again, if you're a senior, your name goes up. It'll splash kind of your statistics. It'll give a picture, and it really allows us to have that visual representation, or, well, electronic representation, great big up on a gym wall, and it really highlights the great things that the kids are doing. So we're going to use it for that. It can be used at concerts. It could possibly be used at graduation. Right now, it's instead of just having a stagnant flag, you see a big flag of flying up there. So it allows us just to add to that game experience as you're in our gym.
And photos and some things from other activities and clubs at the school, too. I noticed
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely. So it's a great way to advertise the great things that happen over at River Valley. So, it's an incredible tool that we have to use. We actually went down and visited Prairie du Chien because Prairie du Chien's had one for a while, and we're looking at all the software and all the programming that goes with it. Just like every tool, you got to use it the right way. So we're trying to find all the software and all the infrastructure, if you will, behind it to make sure that we're utilizing it to the best of its ability.
I noticed that you put the sponsors up around it and makes it look even bigger, actually.
Yeah, it did. The sponsors up around it, those are the sponsors that helped us with that initial cost. But on the fly, you will also see RVTV, which River Valley has its own little TV network of groups that have always sponsored us. So you'll see their advertising fly through there as well. So RVTV is another group that's always been crucial for River Valley, and they allow us on radio spots or different things to kind of fund that idea that kids are greatly involved in creating the televised experience, if you will. So it's an exciting thing because it allows the kids to be involved in that production of the great things that you see on a board or on the radio.
Behind the scenes, I know you've been working diligently in the last year to kind of figure out what the needs of the district will be, and River Valley School District will be going to referendum this spring, Lauren.
We will. We will. And that's really what I'm going to highlight today, is that we have a referendum vote coming up on April 2nd. April 2nd will be our spring referendum. There are actually two questions on there, but I'm going to take us back really quickly to about a year and a half ago, where I had from my board this mission to dig into, where's River Valley going to be in the next 20 years? What are we going to look like in 20 years? We know that declining enrollment has affected us. We know that our buildings are aging. We know the region in general is aging with people. So what's going to look like, and how can we think about being sustainable 20 years from now? So it's kind of that vision for 2040, if you will, which sounds crazy, but it's out there. So we went on a long journey, but we wanted to invite our community members. So we got a large coalition of folks to come together, and they were called our advisory task force. Really, people throughout the community, whether they were from Plain, Lone Rock, Arena, or Spring Green, came together and had big conversations about the status of our architecture, the age of our buildings, the, like I said before, our declining enrollment. All of those things were kind of thrown on the table, and a large group of community members came together and talked through what they thought we should do with that. That advisory task force then set forth with an idea of send out an entire community survey. We got the survey results back, and those results from the community really led us to this referendum. They said to really think about going to capital referendum now. We have some aging parts of our buildings that we really need to address. Another part that they really wanted us to take a look at was the space that's used up at a Plain building. We have a Plain Early Learning Center, which is a satellite school 11 miles away from our campus, and it only has seven classrooms, seven wonderful classrooms, but they were hoping that we could consider what it would look like if those classrooms were down on the River Valley campus in Spring Green. So they kind of gave us some tasks to really pursue that referendum, but also think about some other things as we did that. Vacate a building up in Plain, kind of take care of some ADA needs. The American Disabilities Act in 1992 came through. Most of our buildings were built before 1992, so they wanted us to make sure that we were remaining compliant to ADA needs. Another thing they wanted us to really take a hard look at is they wanted us to look at safe and secure entrances. We don't have a lot of security in the front of our buildings because a lot of our offices are in the center of a building. So they wanted us to take a look at that. So with those things coming from that advisory task force, we set forth on this journey to figure out how we could fix some stuff. And that's where we're at. We've really put forward two questions now to think about where we're going to go. The first question really tries to address closing down that building up in Plain, and it really thinks about renovations at the elementary and middle high school, safe and secure entrances at two of those buildings, but really taking care of some of that building infrastructure and ADA needs for all three buildings. That's question one. Question two was another group of families that were there that really wanted us to highlight the need for a performing arts center. River Valley has a strong history in performing arts, both vocal, the choral, the band, as well as the performing arts in drama. So those three factions were very vocal in hoping that we could consider thinking about adding a performing arts space to our high school as it exists right now. So question one, ADA, front doors being safe and secure. Question two is more about that idea of a performing arts center.
Okay. And they're both on there. So the voters will have their choice then for one or two then.
Absolutely, Phil. Okay. So they will have a question. Of course, we'd love for them to say yes and yes, but they have the right to say yes and no or no and yes, right? So they get to decide as the voters of our district and as our community to tell us what the direction we should go. So yes, they can. It is not an all in one. It is question one out there for just under $20 million, and that second question for a performing arts space would be just above $14 million.
So that would be solely for the Performing Arts Center, referendum number two.
Referendum number two is for the Performing Arts Center, but the backside of a Performing Arts Center is our band and choir room, so it would redo the band and choir rooms in itself, as well as make them ADA compliant, because band and choir rooms are not, generally if they've got tiered spaces or if they're older. And ours are older, so it would take on that Performing Arts Center, new front doors, new safe and secure entrance for the high school, and then it would be a heavy remodel of our band and choir in that question number two.
Okay, so I guess the question with the referendums are always, about taxes.
Yes, sir.
How much do the taxes go up?
It's going to be hard, right? Like, so we know that rural schools run off of referendum right now. And most schools, and you've heard, you were saying it just moments ago, that a lot of the districts in our area have to go to operational referenda to sustain the programming that they currently have. River Valley will continue to have to go to operational referenda. So a story there is that operational referenda pays the bills, if you will, but capital referenda, which we're seeking this time, is about remodeling. And you can't flip-flop the ideas or spend money that you've raised on one for the other. So this is a capital referenda. A lot of the districts in our area work on operational referenda too. So this is not preceding the fact that we're going to probably have to continue to look at operational referenda as well in River Valley. For this capital referendum, it would add on for question one, and we're going to just take a look at it for, let's say your house is worthy of $100,000. The monthly rate of that increase in your taxes would be around $10.50. So if you voted yes to question one and your house is worth $100,000, you would see an additional cost in your taxes of about $10.50. If you said yes to both questions, the second question is right around the $7.65. But if you said yes to both, it's a little bit above $18 if you said yes to both. And again, this is additional taxes if your home was worth right around $100,000.
Okay. So there's a chance that you say yes to both and both would pass. Somebody says yes to one, maybe the second one doesn't pass. I mean,
Correct. We really wanted to be deliberate about making sure that the community had those choices and that advisory task force, as well as the River Valley School Board, thought it was really important to make sure it was two questions. One is truly for remodeling. One is for an additional amenity, if you will, at the high school. So we wanted to make sure that there was a clear vision for one question versus another question. So they're both out there, and we feel like the purpose of them is a little bit different. So we wanted to make sure that we gave the community that choice.
Probably always hear from those that went through the district, and every district hears this. Well, I went through there and we had more kids, and you know, what do they need more room for? But you have a lot more challenges now, don't you?
We certainly do. So when they're looking at ADA needs, or they're looking at how to make sure that the safety and security is there, I'll just take on that safety and security. The world's a different place than it was 50 years ago. And we know that violence happens in public buildings often. Right. So that's something that a lot of schools have been really careful about, is safety and security on the front side of their buildings, to make sure that people have to be properly addressed, but also properly scanned in, if you will, to make sure they're there for the right reasons. And of course, schools love visitors and volunteers to come into their building, but we have to have safety clearance ways. So that safety and security is a huge upgrade for a lot of school districts. The ADA will be a huge upgrade for us. So when I tell people that have gone through the old junior high, because our building that's currently a middle school was built in 1968 and 69. When I tell them that their classrooms haven't changed since then, I'm being honest. That building has not seen major renovation since 1969. And so that means the pipes, the electrical, the wiring, all those things that are kind of underground or in the walls haven't changed. We have some plumbing issues there, right? We also have some electrical issues. And I'll be very honest, I just was in a fifth grade classroom the other day and I was looking around for outlets. Even in the small space that I'm in right now, sitting here, folks, I can see 10 outlets in this small room. In an entire classroom, we had two. Two outlets for 25 kids and a teacher, and they're all carrying a laptop or Chromebook as it is. So the buildings were not built for technology. So yes, we can go through a full ceiling and drop wires down, but you can't drop 25 extension cords from a ceiling and expect it to work really well in a classroom. So there's some big upgrades for electrical that we need to do to just keep this building going with us. Some people might say, why are you working within the walls that you currently have? Why don't you just get rid of it and start again? If we built a K-12 building at the River Valley campus, it would cost us somewhere around $150 to $200 million.
My goodness.
And that's just not feasible. Yeah. For us to take on renovations in three huge buildings, it's going to cost us almost $20 million. A fact that's fun for me to share, and I don't know if it's good or bad, but when we remodeled over at the high school and that wing was put onto the high school, I think additional wing at the high school was put in 1999. That wing added basically 10 classrooms and a set of bathrooms. That wing itself back then cost $6.9 million. We had Kramer Brothers, who is going to be our builder, take a look at that as well. That would be $23.5 million today if we put on those 10 classrooms. Construction costs are very expensive, and that's something I feel bad about, but it's something I can't slide away from. It's just something we have to deal with. So we really, as a team, that advisory task force, as well as my administrative team, as well as the community, got together and said, this is our huge wish list. And we came up with about $75 million worth of wishes. We know we can't afford that. We know that we have to live within our means. And so we brought that down to 19.5, really intentionally focusing on really specific spaces like bathrooms, getting them ADA compliant, like electrical, making sure they're safe and getting outlets into classrooms, making sure the front doors are safe and building in front offices that have security clearances that would help us maintain those buildings. So again, we've been really intentional with that first question's $19.5 million. And I think that is really important to highlight. You know, we could spend lots and lots of dollars. We're trying to keep it within our means so that we can sustain it from this point forward. Yes, we have had declining enrollment, and I always hear from people, well, if you got declining enrollment, why do you need to fix up the places? You should use the space that you currently have. You're right, we can, but it needs to be renovated at the same time. So we are trying to move everybody to one campus. That will make us more efficient. That will make us more responsible with how we're not, you know, spending as much money on transportation and duplicating services. But within that, when we get all onto one campus, it's also the same time where we want to renovate and make sure that it's ready for the next 25 years.
Right. You know, you just talked about the wing, the additional classrooms and the gym, that 98-99 time frame. Soon going to be 25 years, you know. And
yeah.
And we're sitting here, as you mentioned, we're looking out toward 2040.
Yeah.
And that just seems like blows my mind. But it doesn't take long for those years to pass, does it?
No, it doesn't. A good statistic for me to always easily remember is the middle school was built the year I was born. So I'm going to be 54. That middle school and basically everything within it is almost 55 years old. That's an amazing, I mean, it's done its job. It's done a great job for the River Valley School District. And we're not thinking about taking it down. We're just trying to build within again and renovate so that we can dig up some things. Again, when you look at pipes that are in the cement floors, that's not an easy fix. You have to bust through the concrete and really dig in. And if you're going to do this bathroom, well, there's four bathrooms. We have to do all the bathrooms in all the hallways. So if we're busting through concrete, we need to do it right. We don't need to piecemeal it together, and we're asking for the support of our community to help us with that. And while we're doing that, we're trying to transition kids out of Plain down to River Valley and try to work smart, not hard. So,
what about roofs? Are the roofs pretty good in the buildings then?
Yeah, too? They are pretty good. Yep. We've been really lucky. We have a maintenance plan that we follow really carefully. So we have a 10-year maintenance plan that we're always looking at for windows, for HVAC, for roof replacement, for everything like sidewalk and parking lot. So we've been maintaining within that. But within any 10-year plan, there's not enough money set aside to make sure you're doing heavy remodel, right? You can do some things like patch something or get a new HVAC on this corner of the building. But if you've got to really think about how to gut a certain wing to get it back up to code, that takes a lot of money. So again, at a recent meeting that I have out in my municipalities, a gentleman spoke up really clearly and said, why aren't you saving the money for this? Why didn't you save for the last 20 years to get ready for today? Schools are not funded with extra money. There's no school district out there in rural Wisconsin that has a huge savings pot that they kept over here on the side so that they can build someday. That's just not feasible in the way they fund schools in Wisconsin. So we haven't been given, in my opinion, enough money for about 25 years to even fund the great things we could be doing with kids. We have cut back in education for 20 years. Now that we're to this point, I just have to go out to my community and say, it's my job to build systems to make River Valley the best district possible. And within those systems, the architecture is getting in the way. We've got some barriers. So I'm coming to the community to say, okay, I've identified the barriers. I had a team come with me. They can see what we need to do at the same time. Okay, Are you, as the community, going to help us support the changes? And what do you think of this vision for the River Valley School District for the next 25 years?
What about the facility in Plain? What happens to that? And what happens to staff there? Do they just move to the new campus then, if that happens?
So we have built this in our minds, again, imagining what it could look like with all staff staying, right? We're not trying to get rid of staff. We're not trying to get rid of programs. We're trying to sustain, but do it in a better spot. So the staff would come, but there are some duplication of services that we could eliminate. It repeats, if you will, a building secretary. It has an extra kitchen. It has extra janitorial staff. It's got extra electricity as well as plumbing, right? So once you take the building people out through probably just assimilation of getting them to the campus and watching other retirements, we'll make sure that everybody has their positions. However, you're right, we do get some savings there. The board's going to have to choose, do they want to keep that facility and utilize it for rental space for something else, or will they sell that community space? And I'm guessing the board gets to decide on this, but it would be something that would go on the market for real estate. We've actually had two buyers already come to me and say, let me know as soon as it's on the market. I'm really interested in that building as an expanded offering for the community of Plain, which is a good thing, right? We don't want to see buildings sit vacant anyway. So the board ultimately gets to decide that. The community gets to tell the board what they want to do with it. And I'm guessing if we could offset some of the referendum costs with the sale of a building, most people would find that really common sense.
In the long run, it would save the district money then?
It would. We wouldn't have to upkeep it. We wouldn't have to, you know, all the things that I mentioned before with electricity and plumbing and upkeep takes that off that plate. So instead of running four buildings, right, we would have three. And so ultimately, it gets us to be more efficient as a school district. We also have to currently program for people to have travel time in their day. Phys ed teacher goes from here up to there, goes from there down to here. So all that travel time and all that space in between their schedule is eliminated when we're all on the same campus.
What's the timeline, Lauren? If everything passes, when would you start?
I love this idea. So the timeline, people always get worried that the timeline would go really fast. It can't, right? So if we in April pass the referenda and they say, yes, go ahead with remodeling, renovations, go ahead with thinking about those new entrances, go ahead with thinking about that performing arts center. If we go ahead with a positive vote in April, then it takes us basically 9 months of planning and prepping. So this summer is a standstill while they design and they get everything ready. The following summer, which would be the summer of 25-26, it would be a very busy time at the River Valley School District, because within this is also changing the way that parents enter and exit for drop-off lines. Within this is changing all the parking around the campus. So there's a lot of changes that would happen on the campus that would also expand some of the access points for our district. So that would happen in the summer of 25-26.
Okay. I'm trying to picture, if you do get the Performing Arts Center, is that would be kind of at the rear of the school where it is right now?
It's actually right in the parking lot, right by the front door, Phil. So
the
it would
school.
Be right in the high school, right in the front space.
Okay.
So in here, there will be a pamphlet that gets mailed out to every single voter in the River Valley School District. It should be coming out next week or the week after. And in that, it's going to have a huge site map that's going to show you the placement of where that would be planned. It's really right by the front door of the high school. They would expand out into the parking lot area, and then we would expand parking down into a green space that we have. So that would put the Performing Arts Center front and center at that high school. As you walk into that building, it would be right there, which gives it good security clearance, but it also allows us to utilize, if we built that, it would also become the front door of the buildings. So the front office would be incorporated into that design as well.
Other areas have performing arts centers that are very nice. I would guess you'd allow people to rent it for concerts and other things as well?
Absolutely. So people ask me about that. We have probably no less than three or four band concerts at the middle school. We have three or four choir concerts at the middle school. We have play performances at the middle school. Then you go up to the high school. You have performances for band, choir, as well as dramatic arts. But you also have things like our mock trial team could utilize that stage. You also have school board meetings that could utilize this space. You also have people that could rent the space. We have private dance companies within the River Valley School District. They would be able to come in. River Valley is a mecca for the arts. So we have two I believe maybe even three community players, if you will, or community theater groups, they could utilize that space as well. So it would be, I think, highly utilized in our area. And I think it would also offer us some really cool opportunities. I think of our private schools that are around us, too. When they have small events, they could utilize the space, too. So I don't want this to be seen as a performing arts center only for River Valley High School. I would like it to be seen as a performing arts center that would really encompass the five communities around us as well.
Okay. We'll have more information on that, including some information on information meetings in the River Valley School District with Lauren Glassbrenner, Superintendent at River Valley Schools. And we'll have more in a moment on The Morning Show. Lauren Glassbrenner, our guest here on today's morning show from WRCO Radio. And Lauren, we've talked a lot about the upcoming referendum, but I'm guessing people out there have some questions and some opportunities to get more information are coming up.
You betcha. So we have some public meetings coming up, Phil, that I want to make sure I invite everyone to. One of the public meetings is going to be over at our high school, and that'll be in the cafeteria space, and that's on February 27th. And again, this will be on the mailing that comes out to every home or family. We have another public meeting on March 4th, and that's at 6 o'clock. And then we'll have a third one on March 21st at 5. So at the end of February and all throughout March, we'll be available to answer your questions. We do have on rvschools.org a website set up for all the information about the referendum. You'll be getting this mailer, but I guess I'd like to throw out there as well. I'm trying to go out to every single municipality out there. For example, tonight I'm going to the town of Hyde. I want to make sure that I'm out there answering those community members' questions at their community board meetings as well. So I like to go out and make sure that the municipalities know their stake in the game. And I think that's a really important thing, is to make sure people are informed about this. I can't tell people what to vote, but I can tell people about the information behind it so that their questions are answered and they're not guessing about what we're going to be doing. So that's my task. So as a community member myself, I want to offer out to any civic group that's out there, if you want me to come and explain what's in the pamphlet, or you want me to talk about the history of what happened in River Valley, I'm available. Just give me a holler, call district office, talk to my secretary, Paula, and we'll schedule it so that I can come out and make sure I'm answering your questions. That also goes for a family that maybe they just want me to come and have coffee with them so that they understand better how this will have a tax impact. Call. I'm more than willing to come and meet with people to make sure that they are informed, because I don't want people not voting because they don't understand what's happening. So it's my job to educate. As I left the classroom and became a building administrator, I had to run a building. And now that I'm running a district, it's exciting. I get to educate the public, but I also need people to ask those questions so that I can reach out and meet their needs.
We've talked about it before, but how diverse your district is. You have people from, you know, ag industry and the arts industry and everything. And I'm guessing, but everybody has the same goal. They want the best for the young people.
Yeah, yeah. I try to always kind of throw it into the three C's. We want to make sure that people are community ready. So we have four diverse communities in the River Valley School District. I want to make sure that kids, when they leave our doors, they're community ready. So that means they need to think about civic engagement. They need to think about volunteerism. They need to think about what it is to be a citizen in a community, because that's really important to making sure that rural development thrives. We can't just have, as they call it, brain drain and have everybody raise their children in the rural and then have everybody leave and go to suburban. That's not the point. We're finding that about 50% of the kids want to stay here. So I need to make sure that they're community ready. I also want to make sure they're career ready. That's the second C. And some kids will leave our campus and immediately want to go to work. And we have some incredible industrial areas in our area. We have Rockwell here in Richland Center. We've got the whole Cardinal Glass family over in the Spring Green as well, Black Earth area. So we want to make sure that kids are ready for career. And so we have some high-skilled manufacturing tools that we just got into our auto shop over at the high school. We're really trying to get make sure that kids can leave certified or at least experienced enough that they could be hired for a career. We also want to make sure they're college ready. So if a kid has the idea that they want to go to one of the great schools in Wisconsin out there for postgraduate, if they want to go to Madison or they want to go to Superior or they want to go to any of the other schools like Southwest Tech up in Fenimore, we want to make sure they're prepared for that as well. So if we have to get them community ready, career ready, and college ready, we've got a lot of work to do. And it does make us diverse. We know that River Valley has an incredible history for athletics. We know that River Valley has an incredible history for the arts. We have performing arts as well as like APT in our back door. It just bleeds into the excitement at our high school. We also know we have an incredible agriculture department, right? So our ag department is beyond others. And I'm sure my FFA group will be coming to talk next week during FFA week.
They are.
But that's awesome because they're a great group. But if I have to get them ready for the arts and I have to get them ready for athletics and I have to get them ready for agriculture, I have to balance that they also need to be ready for their academics.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at
the helpful hardware, folks. WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News Time Today is sponsored by Court & Main Furniture and Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. Today's forecast calls for temps in the upper 30s, and then tonight a few clouds and frosty conditions in 25. 44 Wednesday. Looks like Wednesday night we could be picking up 2 to 3 inches of snow and a low of 28. In Richland Center right now, we're up after the overnight low of 22. It is 26 degrees.
Looking for the perfect love seat and sofa set? Well, A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet has you covered. For those that love the cool look of leather, but the long, warm feel for fabric, the Stoneland Reclining Sofa and Reclining Love Seat set delivers both with ease. Its high-performance padded faux leather is remarkably durable and easy to clean. Just the thing for family spaces. Not to mention fashion-forward flair. Shop the Valentine's Day sale now through February 17th, only at A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet in downtown Richland Center.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. The State Assembly is set to vote today on a $2.1 billion tax cut package from Republicans.
The four bills passed the legislature's Joint Finance Committee on a party line vote last week. The measures would expand the second lowest state tax bracket to include filers earning between $19,000 and $150,000 per year, exempt up to $75,000 of retirees' income, and expand tax credits for married filers and for those with children. Governor Tony Evers last year twice vetoed bills cutting taxes for the state's top earners, and it's unclear whether he'll sign any of these bills. At the Capitol, Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A Mineral Point daycare provider reached a plea agreement in Iowa County Circuit Court Monday in the charge of first-degree reckless homicide in the death of a four-month-old baby who is in her care. 29-year-old Joanna Ford was charged in Iowa County on a child neglect charge from June of 2022. An autopsy revealed the child, Wyatt Hamlin, suffered a severe traumatic brain injury while he was in her care. Following the plea agreement yesterday, bond was revoked and Ford was remanded. Joanna Ford is scheduled to be sentenced on April 5th. Jerry Kember of School Perceptions presented the results of 2023 survey to the Richland School Board of Education last night, conducted among staff to gauge the district's strengths and weaknesses. 199 staff members responded for a 97% response rate. The survey showed that 60% of the staff has been with the district for 6 years or more, which Kember said was a good statistic. In comparing scores from last year, each of the five categories, engagement, staff experience, academics, support, and student experience dropped in percentages, but Kember said there was no reason to worry as they were less than 5%. Business official John Bosworth reported the results of the second pupil count held this year. The second count was done on the second Friday in January. When the count was done, the district looks at the resident pupils, whether they attend school in the district or not, and the number of pupils in the buildings. The resident information is what is recorded with DPI. It's used
used to determine revenue limit calculations and state aid. The in-building numbers are the ones the district uses to determine staff and program needs. Just a snapshot, because the pupil numbers are constantly changing due to pupils moving in and out of the district. The historical data provides insight into how much the district changes from the third Friday count in September to the second Friday count in January each year. Following the resignation of Spanish teacher Dawson Nunn, the district needed to fill the position. It was determined that hiring a qualified person at this time of the school year would be difficult and untimely. An immediate solution internally to have Kevin Gonzalez, the RCHS Spanish teacher, teach Spanish 3 and Spanish 4, which were previously taught by Nunn. Gonzalez is willing to prepare lessons and teach students during his prep period for the remainder of the third quarter. As such, a partial overload of 43.5% was approved by the board. Any costs associated with the overload would be offset by the current vacancy. Quarter four is still being reviewed to determine the best plan of action for the world language courses. District Administrator Steve Board announced that Lee Van Landite has filed to run as a write-in for the District 1 East seat that remained open beginning following the April election, since incumbent Melissa Wirtz filed non-candidacy. Gasoline prices rose over 28 cents across the state last week. The average gas price in Wisconsin, $3.06 yesterday, over 30 cents higher than a month ago, but over 6 cents lower than at this time last year. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, warns price increases will continue. Several major refinery issues persist across various regions. The transition to summer gasoline will likely put upward pressure on prices. He foresees larger weekly increases coming in March and April. It was a slow start to the sturgeon spearing system on Lake Winnebago. Warm temperatures on Saturday and poor ice conditions overall have hampered the annual sturgeon season. Far fewer people are out on the ice this year, with mostly pop-up tents close to shore. But clear water conditions, despite the thin ice, means there's been decent spearing for those who are out there. As of Sunday night, 122 sturgeon were registered with the Department of Natural Resources. An expensive ATV has been lost after it fell through the ice in a bay near Superior. The Douglas County Sheriff's Office says the ATV fell through the ice on Kilner Bay Thursday. Using drones, the Sheriff's Office and the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources confirmed that the ATV fell into the water due to unstable ice conditions. Officials say that there wasn't a person in the water and the owner of the ATV was safe, but the owner lost the vehicle and some fishing equipment. The Sheriff's Office stressed that people stay off the ice, noting there is currently no safe ice in that area. The death of a person in custody in Lafayette County is being investigated.
The arrest was made early Monday morning in Schulzburg by deputies and a Darlington police officer, according to the Wisconsin Division of Criminal Investigation. Police say the person was acting erratically and repeatedly resisted arrest as officers used non-lethal methods in an attempt to subdue the individual. The person had a medical emergency and later died at a hospital. The victim has not been identified and the cause of death is still being determined. Body cameras were in use during the incident and will be reviewed by investigators. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
And good news this morning, there will be a location, there will be a farm for the Richland County Dairy Breakfast coming up later this year. Annette Lewis, longtime coordinator of the Richland County Dairy Breakfast, announced today that Huff Nelson Farms will be hosting the Richland County Dairy Breakfast. They are getting set for the event on June 9th from 7 until 1 that day, hosted by Larry and Sherry Nelson and the family at Huff Nelson Farms for the Richland County Dairy Breakfast 2024. It looks like pretty good weather for the day, but maybe some winter-like weather on the way. Details in a moment.
Hello, this is Added Touch Floral on Main Street. Let us help make your Valentine's special this year with a beautifully arranged bouquet by Ashley and Samantha. We also have candy bouquets, stuffed animals, a large selection of wines, balloons, and candles. Give us a call at 647-2319 or order directly on our website at addedtouchfloral.com. Don't be that guy who forgot Valentine's Day and order early to enter our $250 giveaway to Open Season, JJ Walsh, or Added Touch Floral. Check our Facebook page. We look forward to making this day special for your Valentine.
A high today of 38, mostly cloudy to partly cloudy and northwest to west winds around 5. A few clouds and frosty tonight, a low of 25, and Wednesday partly to mostly cloudy and warmer with a high of 44. Wednesday night, a low of 28 with some snow overnight, 2 to 3 inches expected into Thursday morning, and Thursday breezy with partial clearing, a high of 34. Friday 27 with a 50% chance of light snow and small accumulations possible. In Richland Center, yesterday we were up there in that, again, range, not a record breaker, but right around the 40-degree mark. And moving on with some temperatures, 48 the high yesterday, moving on today with temperatures that won't get that warm, but again, a high of around 38 a little bit later on. We started out with a frosty 22, and right now it is 26 degrees.
If you're looking for quality fresh cows and two-year-old heifers, you need to head to the Richland Cattle Center Wednesdays at 11:30. This week's auction includes 12 head of milking cows picked up from a retiring Greene County dairyman, 40 years of AI breeding, stall barn milk, and let outside daily. Plus, the weekly run of fresh cows and two-year-olds, milking and breadback cows, springing cows and first calf heifers, bred heifers, open heifers of all ages, a breeding age bull, baby heifer and bull calves. For up-to-date listings, visit stadieauction.com. And don't miss the Richland Cattle Center sales at Ithaca every Wednesday morning starting at 11:30.
Get ready to indulge in the flavors of Fat Tuesday at the Woods Bar and Grill in Lone Rock. Join them today starting at 2 p.m. for a feast featuring jambalaya, shrimp creole, and blackened catfish with red beans and rice. Each dinner includes a hearty serving of gumbo and a delectable chocolate bread pudding with spiced rum sauce. For more information, check out their Facebook page or give them a call at 583-2625. Don't miss out on this delicious celebration.
Sports Time is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex, Richland Center's Public Indoor Swimming Pool and Fitness Center, and by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's Tractor Experts. Coming up, a look back at last night's schedule, details on tonight's games as well, and the Bucks have now won 2 in a row after a bit of a slump.
Kubota has the industry-leading BX Series subcompact tractor. Hi, this is Rick from the Homesteader Store. BX Tractor is a real tractor in a small package. It is diesel-powered, four-wheel drive, hydrostatic transmission, power steering, allowing a novice to operate it like a pro. It can have a loader, mower, backhoe, and three-point attachments. Kubota has various rebates and great long-term financing. See the full line of Kubota products at the Homesteader Store, Highway 14 East, or at homesteaderstore.com.
The Riverdale boys basketball team led from early in the game and rolled to a 66-41 win over Wanewoc Center. It was senior night in Muscadet as the team honored its senior players and managers. The Chieftains led 36-20 at halftime and made 9 three-pointers, including 7 in the second half. Andre Tainer had a strong 23 points, while Carson Kenyon added 13, including 3 threes, and Bevan Nennis scored 9. Wanewoc Center was led by Cam Tellefson with 13, and Danny Rowling added 10. Riverdale won the JV game 54-22. Riverdale boys now 8-13 on the season following last night's 66-41 varsity win. They'll be back in action tonight at Boscobel. Elsewhere in boys basketball, Platteville 78-37 over Edgewood. It was Kickapoo getting the win against Waseca Steuben 56-50 last night in the Goodridge and Valley Conference game. Warren Huey had 15 and Malachi McCauley 14 for Kickapoo. Cooper Lummis with 22 and Lucius Cooley 14 for Waseca Steuben. Platteville was a winner as well against Edgewood 78-37 and Port Edwards 66, New Lisbon 50. Girls basketball from last night. Boscobel avenged a loss to Riverdale just this past Friday night with last night's win 59-44. Erin Knowles had 34 for the Bulldogs. Riverdale was led by Zuri Dennis with 16 and Macy McKay with 11. In other girls' games, Viroqua over Richland Center last night, 51-28. Sauk Prairie 57-26 over River Valley. It was a win for Belleville over Lancaster, 58-41. Waseca Steuben edged Hillsboro, 56-55. North Crawford, 49. Westby, 41. Darlington, 50. River Ridge, 49. Wisconsin Dells, 54-30 over Columbus. Tonight, Schulzberg plays at Richland Center in girls' basketball. New Lisbon at Hillsboro, Cashton at Royal, and Nisida at Wantiwok Center, Reedsburg at Mauston, and Viroqua at Lafarge, Mineral Point at Dodgeville, and Cuba City at Prairie du Chien. Boys basketball this evening, Southwestern at Darlington, Riverdale at Boscobel, Mineral Point at Fenimore, Lancaster at Highland, Iowa Grant at Cuba City, and Dodgeville at Blackhawk, Weston at North Crawford, Ithaca travels to Kickapoo, Lafarge at Wazika Steuben, and DeSoto at Seneca, Baraboo at Sauk Prairie, Royal visits Brookwood, Mauston at Viroqua, Lodi at Wisconsin Dells, Cashton at Westby. Other boys' games tonight. On the state of Wisconsin scene, it was a win last night for the Milwaukee Bucks after losing five of their first six under new head coach Doc Rivers. The Bucks have won two in a row. Monday night, they took care of the Denver Nuggets, 112-95. For the first time this season, Milwaukee has held opponents under 100 points in back-to-back games. Giannis Antetokounmpo scored a game-high 36 points and took down a season-high 18 rebounds. The Bucks built the lead to 28 late in the third quarter, then coasted home. They're back into action again right away tonight, hosting the Miami Heat. Wisconsin's top two Division I teams are headed in different directions in the polls. Marquette is riding a seven-game win streak entering tonight's game at Butler. The Golden Eagles are rated fifth this week with an 18-5 record. The Badgers have dropped to 21st after seeing the losing streak reach four in a row. Coach Greg Gard's team hosts Ohio State tonight at the Kohl Center, looking to improve on a 16-8 record. That's an update on sports on this Tuesday morning from WRCO and WRCE. I'm Phil Nee.
Why should you join us at Simon's Recreation Complex? It's not about our modern equipment or our great exercise class.
Those academics have to be a big part of the buildings that we're making sure are ready for their learning. So that's us trying to balance all of that out in a diverse community over there. And sometimes I think the community does get caught in, it was good enough for us. Why do we need to change? And I think it is time for a change. I wouldn't be here talking my face off if I didn't believe that. So again, to balance all of this out, we have to invest in our communities. A thriving school district equals a thriving community. But I would also say that's vice versa. If it's a thriving community, it's because you have a thriving school district. So I think they build upon each other, and we don't want to see our communities dwindle and die. We want to see them be vigorous and have lots of homes and have lots of people and lots of growth. And I think the center of that is a school district.
You mentioned technology and some of the grants that you've received recently. If the referendum goes through, are there some changes there too?
Absolutely. So another great gift that River Valley has is we have three amazing staff that help us in our tech ed department. So we have a woods and engineering teacher, which is like the old wood shop, if you will, but we have thrown engineering into that, as well as construction management, as well as aeronautics into that. So that's really diverse. We also have an autos teacher, but that autos teacher also covers robotics, and that autos teacher also covers high-skilled manufacturing. So that's the second teacher. The third teacher is we have an old welding shop, right? And we have an incredible welding shop, but we have simulators in there so that that welding can be kind of in a controlled space. But we expanded that to a metal shop. So we have Ms. Carla Carmody, we have Mr. Robbie Jacobson, and Mr. Timothy Wanicki, three incredibly talented educators working in our technology education department, and there are very few districts in southern Wisconsin that still retain three tech ed teachers. We have thriving programs. As we build into this referendum, it would allow us to remodel the entire wood shop. It would allow us to take a look at our welding shop and get it updated, and it would allow us to continue to add equipment into our auto shop. So even though those three are existing, many of the parts of those three are original to the buildings. The lathe at the old middle school is from 1969. There have been changes to equipment since 1969, I guarantee you. So some of the equipment behind the scenes is also aging within our infrastructure. So we would like to expand the wood shop and engineering shop. We would like to make sure autos and robotics is up there. And we'd like to make sure that we do some renovation at metals and welding, because we truly believe that not every kid's going to head off to college. We have kids that want to get into careers, and those elective courses that we offer them are where they can grab some of that great interest and get those skills.
The referendum, does that include a budget for furnishings and desks and things like that?
It does. So that 19.5 that we talked about in that first question, it talks about the construction that could happen at elementary, middle school, and high school for safe and secure entrances. It talks about construction of replacing a gym at the middle school. It talks about making sure that we're a single campus. It talks about the building infrastructure, the improvements, the ADA stuff, but it also includes the acquisition of furnishings, fixtures, and equipment to make sure all of those renovations are balanced by the great things we put in front of kids.
And then upkeep. You always got to worry about that down the road.
Yep. So what we are trying to do is make sure that everything we get is more efficient. So when you take out an old toilet and put in a new toilet, it's easier to upkeep that new toilet. And I know that's a goofy example, but it's true. Plumbing fixtures and electrical features, like what we hope to do, also make our school more efficient. And also by most likely selling that building up in Plain. Again, that's a building, or excuse me, a school board decision. But if I'm forecasting ahead, if that building was no longer on our maintenance plan, we would have extra savings there to invest on our campus here in River Valley as well.
And again, those meetings are coming up. Important reminders for the district and to learn a little bit more.
You bet. We have that one again, February 27th, high school cafeteria. We have one March 4th, high school cafeteria, right around that 5 and 6 o'clock. And this will be on your mailer, as well as one March 21st at the middle school in the Learning Center. And so those are three big meetings where I'd love to have as many people out asking questions, getting the flyers, going through the presentation. But also, again, if you don't like coming to big meetings, I'm always available to come to you too. So those are great things that we have to offer. I'd also like to just give a shout out today. We had regionals wrestling over the weekend and our team did a great job. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Wyatt Knockreiner. Wyatt at 150 pounds got first place, and that was a really big thing for him. That's his first time winning a championship, so that's great. And then we had three other wrestlers, Noah Radke, Mason Schulte, and Blake Brickle, head on to the next events too. So exciting times for wrestling. The other big shout out I'd like to give is an offering that I think is pretty special to River Valley. It speaks to the dramatic arts, but it also speaks to academics. And so we have a mock trial team at River Valley. And it was something that I didn't know a lot about until I came to River Valley. But mock trial basically uses facts and case interpretations, and they simulate an actual small claims court trial. And there are competitions throughout Wisconsin, and they develop arguments and they build cases. And River Valley was the 11th regional championship. We had our 11th regional championship just a couple weeks ago, and that's pretty cool. So we continue to show that our academics are strong, our athletics are strong, our arts are strong. And I just want to make sure that the physical features that we put these kids in also keeps up with the great progress that they're making.
Who's the coach of your mock trial team?
Yeah, mock trial coach is Jason Hollenberger. Does a great job. And we also had two young men, Ryan Kane and Irie Snow, get perfect scores as they went to trial. And that's like a kid winning state, if you will, in wrestling. I know a lot of people worry about that Performing Arts Center being too expensive. Mm-hmm. And something that's been recently kind of shared with me is this idea that if you're a kid that's in a musical or in a play, or even if you are in the performing arts of band and choir, our kids in River Valley have never had a home meet. Mm-hmm. They can be on a gym floor, but that's different, right? So they've never really got to have a home game, if you will, if you're in the performing arts at River Valley. And some people would say, well, it was good enough for me to be on risers in a gymnasium. I'm sure it was, and I'm not trying to knock anybody down for what they offer, but when we have such incredible programming at River Valley, I think it's just justified for us to ask our community if they want to support those kids as much as they support the other things that are happening in our district.
For your plays and musicals, you have to rent other space too,
right? We do. We used to rent downtown the Guard Theater, but the supporting areas in the basement of the Guard Theater and on the wings is not quite what it could be. We also can go to APT if their schedule's not booked and rent space there, but the space is limited. So it's as if we're always on an away game. And I think a lot of the kids and their families believe it's time for us to put on a question that talks about building a home court advantage for our dramatic arts and our choirs and our bands as well.
You'll be back in March to talk a little bit more about it. It'll be
Absolutely.
About a month away at that
yes.
point.
So sounds great.
You'll have
I'd be
a little
excited
more info.
To share where we are at that point. And again, I want people to be looking for the mailer that's coming out in their mailbox. We're trying to get that set out to 15 different zip codes, and that'll be coming out soon. So be looking for that. And if you don't get one, always call district office and we will be more than happy to mail you out any kind of answers to the questions you might have.
Tim Johnson was in last week talking about a FFA alumni fundraiser. It's nice to hear that the fair is going to be expanding a little bit more, too.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
Again, I have to say it every time I come, Phil. I have the best job in the world. I get to work in the best little rural school district around. So I'm just so proud of the work that they do. But our school fair is beyond what I expect. And I think it's just an incredible feat. Our fair shed, if you will, where some county fair sheds are not as big as our fair shed at our campus, and we have to expand it because we don't have enough space now. It has become such a great adventure for us and a great learning opportunity for us in the fall that we need to expand that shed. So Tim has done a great job. Tim Johnson, our FFA alumni, I think he's one of the presidents or the co-chairs of that FFA alumni team. They're always looking about how they can give back to our community. So it's interesting. Last Thursday, Tim received an award from my River Valley School Board for being an outstanding citizen. We called it a community spotlight. Tim Johnson is an incredible member. He's an alumni of River Valley, and he continues to give back to the community and our school district for the kids and the staff. And so we highlighted him. But yeah, we're going to build onto the fair shed. We're going to make it even bigger and make sure that school fair is there for years to come.
Yep, they're wrapping up their fundraisers now, but I know people can send a check to the district office and make sure you note that it's for that shed.
Absolutely. Too. So if you've got some funding out there and you want to see school fair expand, you could always send us some funds over at the River Valley School District. It's 660 West Daly if you need to put that on there. So feel free to just send it our way and tell us again, like you said, Phil, tell us it's for the fair shed and we'll make sure that those funds get into the right account.
Always good to see you.
Always good to be here. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Yeah, no problem. Lauren Glassbrenner, superintendent with River Valley District. Coming up, Joanne has some news on a really fun activity for 4-H youth.
We are here today with Carlene Craddock. And Carlene, what is your title now?
So I am an Extension 4-H educator. I work with the University of Wisconsin-Madison Division of Extension.
And where is your office now?
That is a great question. We have moved a couple times this past year. We are back on campus. We are in Melville Hall right now.
So is it good to be back on campus?
Yeah, it really is. It's a great facility, and we have access to meeting rooms and, you know, workshops, places to hold workshops and things. So it's a good place to be.
Oh, that's awesome. And you also have your annual Discovery Day coming up. Now, that's a big event for the Richland County 4-H, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's great. It's a big event for 4-H, but it's also open to the community, too. So appreciate having a chance to talk about it. And maybe, you know, we'll get the word out to some families who maybe aren't familiar with 4-H, but would be interested in having their kids come to this event. Last year, we had over 100 kids register. So it's going to be a fun event.
Sounds very popular if you had 100 kids last year. And what are the age? It's for all ages, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's actually 5K, which is all ages that can be in 4-H. So kindergarten through high school, really. We have a special class just for those kids who are in 5K through second grade. It's called Welcome to the Jungle this year. So it's jungle themed activities, and they'll be doing some science experiments and some crafts and making some snacks and all around the jungle theme.
And the other neat thing about this is you have junior leaders that are already in 4-H that kind of do some of the demonstrations, don't you?
So, yeah, we really do. And one of the great things about this event is it gives our youth leaders a chance to share what they've learned through 4-H with some of the younger kids. So we have some youth leaders who are leading some of the sessions and, you know, have some adults partner with them. We have some youth adult partnerships. One of the classes this year is being led by a couple of junior leaders. They're doing an origami class. And she had a 4-H exchange student a couple years ago from Japan, and she really got into origami. And this year she's teaching the younger kids some of the things she's learned.
Origami seems to be a big thing. I know I was with my grandkids over like Thanksgiving, and one of them had gotten origami, and they just sat there for almost an hour just folding paper.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it takes some patience, but they can come up with some just amazing things. I think they're going to make a balloon out of paper, which will be fun to see. So
what are some of the other programs that kids can choose from?
So, well, the event, we have 25 classes for the kids to choose from. And one of the things, or the format for Discovery Day, is they get to pick three different classes. The instructors are mostly members from the community or 4-H volunteers, and they're sharing, you know, what they love with kids. So it's really fun to see the dynamic as we go around and see the classes. A couple of the new classes this year, we have Stacey Anthony from the Rock Shop in Viroqua is coming down, and she's going to teach the kids about how to find, you know, do rock collecting, and also she's bringing some geodes that the kids can open. I've never met her, but talking with her on the phone, I mean, she's just really passionate about rocks and teaching kids about that. And she works with school groups and others. So she's going to come for any of the kids who are interested in that. Another new class this year is Phil Neese's son, James, is going to be teaching a small engines class. So kids can come and learn about engines. And I don't know what all that's going to involve, but, you know, it's new this year.
Well, Discovery Day on Saturday, February 17th at the campus from 9 to 12:15. Sure sounds like a great time. Too bad I'm not a kid anymore.
Thanks.